Welcome to the Equipping You in Grace podcast, hosted by Dave Jenkins. The Equipping You in Grace podcast is a podcast about helping Christians develop a biblical worldview in a conversational tone about issues inside and outside the church. Now, for today's episode, let's join our host, Dave Jenkins.
Well, welcome back, everybody, to the Equipping You in Grace podcast. My name is Dave, and I'm the host for this podcast. And with me today, I have my friend Tim. Tim, welcome back to the Equipping You in Grace podcast, brother.
Well, thank you, Dave. It is good to be back, and always good to talk with you, my friend.
Always good to talk with you, too. Can you catch us up on what's happening in your life, marriage, ministry, and what are you working on ministry project-wise these days?
Well, that's a full question with lots of answers. It depends on what part of my life you want to talk about, but the reality is that life is full and blessed at the family level, though there are sorrows, as are true in everybody's life. And ministry, we're full of joys and sorrows. Just got a new building in Prospect Park, Pennsylvania, so we're delighting in that and beginning to settle in and see what the Lord has for us in this community. Here, writing continues to be a part of my life and ministry between blogging and various articles being posted in different places and a new book that has come out. There's a lot going on. God seems to be with us, yet we're working hard and trying to be faithful as well.
Amen, brother. Amen. Well, can you tell us about this new book, An ABC Prayer to Jesus, Praise for Hearts Both Young and Old, why you wrote it and how you hope it will be received?
Well, this book has been the product of probably 10 years of processing in my own mind. One might look at it when they pick it up and see, you know, simple stanzas that are the text of the book and think, oh, this may have been a short project that just kind of happened quickly. But the reality is the seed form of it was planted about 10 years ago as I wrote another devotional for older folks and adults, just using alliteration in praise of Christ, a devotional called Worship Worthy. When I was done with that, the idea came to mind to try to create a children's version of that. We've called it an ABC Prayer to Jesus. And it's an alphabet organized series of prayers and praises that are designed to express the hearts of people, both young and old. It's not just for little kids. In fact, many adults who have read it have said that their own hearts have been very much affected. There's a simplicity to it and yet a depth to it by God's grace that I think has been a blessing. It's an interesting book in the sense that it really pulls together a number of different things. It's a children's reader. It could be a bedtime prayer. There's a fun element to it, as there are the illustrator who did a fantastic job with the illustrations. It's a black and white book that has a kind of classical look to it and yet a very fun dimension to it. And in the illustrations, he has hidden various objects that match the letter of the alphabet so kids can have, well, not just kids, adults love seek and find things too, but kids can have some fun with it, looking for the objects. And then it's also a Bible study. There are listed in the back of the book Bible references for each of the images and metaphors and similes that are taken from Scripture that are woven into the text of the book. Another feature that I am really excited about is that each of the stanzas can be sung to the tune of the doxology. So it actually is a songbook as well as all that I've just described. And that the doxology being a tune that is known all over the world. Christians everywhere sing the doxology. So it's a familiar tune. Adults and children can actually sing the book together.
Wow.
If they're so inclined. So it's got all that going on at once. And again, it's this an ABC prayer to Jesus, praise for hearts, both young and old.
Well, I really like this book, obviously, because I endorsed it. So you know, guys, that if I do that, everybody knows that if I do that, it's got to be pretty good. Because I don't.
That's right. Your name is in there, brother. So it's there, and it's in print, man. It's in print.
Yeah. I don't endorse every book that has comes my way, and when I have a problem with it, something, I usually end up talking to the author, which they don't usually like that. But you know, I'd rather have a conversation and be honest with an author than or a writer than, you know. It makes for some awkward conversations, but it's really the best way to handle it, I think. So, but I had no problem with this book, guys, just to be clear. And it's very helpful. Hey, who would you say this book would be good for, like age range wise for children?
Yeah, it's really interesting. I think, you know, as they measure these things in the book world, my guess is, you know, the target, that bullseye might be, I don't know, 8 years old, 7, 8 years old.
Okay.
But the reality is that the range is probably 3 to 12. And then, frankly, junior hires and high schoolers and adults can really enjoy this book. There's something in it that people tell me kind of connects. So I've, you know, I know of people whose very young children, I heard just yesterday of a 3-year-old, you know, just thoroughly enjoying the book. And I've read it in the presence of 15-year-olds who have really enjoyed the book as well. So
wonderful.
It's got a wide range.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Brother, how important is it that kids learn theology?
Yeah, this was, as I was glancing at the questions that you sent in my direction, this was one of those questions. I said, wow, this moves us, you know, into the deeper end of the pool in this conversation. This is is a great question. And the answer, in short, is it is all important. Mm. It is all important. I thank God, and I don't know how many times I've thanked God for this, that I grew up with parents who, I love to put it this way, they gave me a big God. They gave me a big God. Their view of God was expansive. They saw the glory of God, the sovereignty of God, the majesty, the holiness, the love of God. And they communicated that just in the way they lived their lives. It was very, very affecting, and it was the foundation for my life. They taught, but even in some ways as important, anyways, they lived the reality of a big God, a great God. That was just poured into me, and has frankly served me well through a life that has included many sorrows and many sufferings that God has called me to know who God is, to know theology, has been so foundational and such just an incredible, incredible gift to me that we in turn tried to bestow on our kids and pour into their lives as well. So it's how important? All important. Mm-hmm. Is the answer, I think.
Yeah, that's really good. Yeah. You know, when we lived in California, we had my nephew live with us, and just seeing the kind of kids' books that are out there, I knew that there was some out there, but not all of them are equal. And I just saw the real importance for books like yours and others that help them really to grow And I'm going to be giving your book to my nephew.
Oh, that's
so I'm sure he loves these types of books. So, you know, as I read the book, I'm like, will my nephew like this? And sometimes he does like the books I get for, well, they send them to me. And yeah. Sometimes he doesn't, or sometimes, you know, he might like it later. So that's why I asked you, you know, maybe yeah. there's a parent or somebody listening and they're like, hey, will my kid connect with this? And you gave a good answer, but it's all important. It's so important, you know, no matter the age of the kid or even an adult, theology yeah. is absolutely vital. So you're.
Yeah, and I don't think I mentioned it. If I did, I forgot, but the, you know, theology as it's expressed in my book in ABC Prayer, it is in the book, it is Christology. It is Christ. The book is all about Christ. It's the metaphors, the similes, the figures of speech in scripture that refer to Christ that are just presented in a way that honestly my heart in writing it was that as children and their parents and their grandparents actually read the book, there would be moments of where they would actually say, wow, you know, there would be moments where they would just catch a glimpse of a sense of the goodness or the greatness of our Savior. And you know, how can you give too much of that to your children? You just can't, you know. You know, Christ needs to be poured into our families. The Father, the Son, the Spirit just need to be constantly on our lips in the home. So.
Amen. How can the local church come alongside parents and teach them theology?
Well, that too was one of those questions where I read it. I said, okay, all right. I'm a pastor, been a pastor for a long time. How can a church do this? And the question then for me became, am I doing this? How well am I doing this? So it's a really, really good question. And, you know, obviously there are different approaches to children in the actual Sunday worship event, so to speak, and experience. Some have children present, some have children in children's ministry. But whatever the case, either approach, there's a sense in which it's whatever is taught should be giving our children truth, giving our children theology, obviously in a way that they can at least in some measure understand and take in. Although I have seen children sit in very heavy preaching and somehow manage to take things in. But it's, you know, there's different approaches to that. But whatever the approach, whatever the material, whatever the topic, whatever the songs, they need to be rich in truth. They need to be rich in presenting Christ, in presenting the triune God. So that our children are, when they go to church, quote unquote, when they arrive wherever God's people gather, they are aware that they're going to hear about God. They're going to hear the truth of God's word, and they come to expect that. Yeah, there's all kinds of wonderful materials that, you know, I do hope my book kind of finds a place there. There's one man who actually also endorsed the book. Marty Machowski has written some incredibly helpful children's books. That one of his books is called Theology, just a play on words, but just Theology for Kids. And also curricula that really help to just consistently take people through the truth of scripture. So these are, you know, it's very important that churches do this, and it needs to be done in a sense at whatever level, there needs to be people need God. And I mean that not in a trivial way. I mean that theologically. They need God. They need the true God. Was it to Martin Lloyd Jones? Give your people a big God, I think was his. Yeah. He could tolerate just about anything except a preacher who failed to give his people a big God, a great God.
Yeah.
Let's do that for our kids too.
So. Yeah, that's really good. I remember in high school, we were studying systematic theology in high school, Sunday school. I think we were reading Grudem's Systematic Theology.
There this you is, go.
1999, you know, yeah. 2000. And, you know, that was great, you know. Yeah. And then I developed, even before that, I developed a love for theology, but I wanted to study systematic theology. Now I have over 24 systematic theologies behind me in my office, you know. So I think they were pretty successful.
Yeah,
you know, 20 years later, you know, I'm still loving systematic theology. And
But you're reminding me, Dave, of something that I was not fully conscious of when it was happening, but my sons have brought to my mind more recently, back when our children were young, and I'm talking, you know, 5, 10, 12, 14 years old. In our church, on every Wednesday night for a couple of years, we watched an R.C. Sproul video,
just
one segment, and then spent a half hour or so discussing.
Mm.
And I had my children with me for all those conversations. And they tell me now that those were life-shaping conversations. They learned so much rich theology by sitting there as children, listening to R.C. Sproul lectures.
Haven't we all?
Oh, yeah, indeed.
Yeah.
And they, you know, they are continuing in that love for truth even today. So, yeah, in a sense, you know, it's not too early. You know, you think about young children's catechisms and tools of that nature that really can help this process, whether churches or families just at home doing that. So they're wonderful tools.
That's really good. Well, let's say a parent is listening, and hopefully they are, and they want to help their child begin to learn theology. Where should they start? You've mentioned some resources. Any other thoughts?
Yeah, in fact, I probably jumped back and forth between a couple of the questions here.
No worries.
Yeah, I think that the parents can start. The real answer is parents need to start with their own hearts and their own minds. It's hard to know. It's impossible to communicate theology rightly to our children if, in fact, we don't know theology. So we've got to become students, as actually Dr. Sproul used to say, everybody's a theologian. The only question is whether you're a good or bad one. And we need to make sure that we're good ones, that we yes. really know scripture. So whether it's picking up a solid systematic theology like Grudem's or others, whether it's reading rich books like Dr. Packer's book, Knowing God, or whatever. The books that are that present theology in a way that affects you, that is more than just in the head. It reaches the heart. It transforms the life. It solidifies faith. Parents need to have that. So there needs to be an initial commitment by the parents to grow in truth. But then, you know, there are, you know, there's a whole range of good materials that parents can use. Again, I hope this book finds its way there. Young catechisms, some of them are done very well and winsomely and effectively. And then kind of talking about theology. Do it over dinner. Do it while you're walking. You know, just who is God? What is God? You know, our parents often get stymied when our kids ask, well, who is God? Tell me about God. Well, those are golden moments for us. You know, seize those moments to express who God is.
So
I suppose that question could lead into about 10 hours of
conversation. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you gave a good answer. Well, you were just talking about children reading the Bible. How can the local church help encourage and equip parents to help children read the Bible?
Well, again, it's got to start with the parents, doesn't it? Sadly, we're living in a time when far too few are reading their Bibles, and it sounds cliche, but there's no cliche to it or superficiality to it. The reality is that Bibles are untouched from week to week, and just the reality of the sacred privilege of holding the scriptures in our hands is far too little appreciated in our time, and we need to recover that. The scriptures need to be central in our life as a church in such a way that it becomes more natural, if that's the right word, for parents at home to say, "Hey, I want to read my Bible," and then read it to our children. Just read the word. I mean, historically, families and heads of households, right after dinner, they've taken a few minutes to just read a chapter of scripture. Just expose your children to the word of God in a way that communicates, we believe this and we are committed to following the God of the Bible and following the Bible itself, because it's God's voice to us. Probably nothing. I don't know if I'm going to be able to remember the details of this. We've all heard the statistics of children wandering away from the faith when they enter into their college years and beyond. But I heard a statistic by Brian Chappell recently. Dr. Chappell said something like, the marker or what affects it positively, those statistics, the children that either stay in the faith or return to the faith, most often are children who grew up in homes where the Bible had a meaningful impact during the week, and where prayer did, where they actually heard their parents pray, or saw their parents reading the Bible, or heard their parents reading the Bible, where there was some indication that their parents' faith was not just a Sunday faith, but it was a through the week faith, even if very simply expressed, even if just a simple prayer here or there. The children in those homes are more likely to stay in the faith or return to the faith. And I'm not sure I've got all the details of that precisely accurate, but it certainly was enough to stir me. Of course, my kids are all gone now, to encourage parents to just read the word, read it, pray.
Yeah, that's a really good encouragement. I wrote the book I just released for along this lines, and a big thing that I've been talking about is the three things God loves. He loves his word, he loves his people, and he loves his church. Yeah. And those things are things that God delights over. And so we should spend that time in the word, not out of just checking a box, but helping people understand this is what God delights over. And so that's what you should delight over. And what you said is just so good. What Dr. Chappell is saying as well. So important.
I hope I'm quoting him closely enough, but that was the gist of what he shared.
I'm sure he would be fine with you just mentioning it. I think that's really, really, really helpful counsel. So good stuff. Well, here's a question that's right up your alley. What role should grandparents take in their spiritual formation and development of their grandchildren?
Right up my alley. As you look on the screen and see see this old guy sitting here.
I didn't say that again. I didn't. I just tossing you.
I heard respect and something in there. I am, for the record, the very happy grandparent, grandfather of 13 grandchildren. Certainly, in one sense, they were my children, and my grandchildren have been an impetus and kind of have created an impulse behind the writing of this book. There is a joy to be able to hand on to my children and to their children something like this, which in its own way tells the story of my faith and their grandmother's faith. So that's part of what that, the answer to your question, part of what it has, how it's been expressed in my life. Yeah, we need to pray for our grandchildren. We who have been parents and have seen our parents grow up, our kids grow up into adulthood, we're aware that it's not just a matter of getting our grandchildren through the early years. It's they need our prayers throughout all of life. Our children and grandchildren never outgrow their need for our prayers. So we must be much in prayer. We must be those who live Christ as grandparents. When we're with our grandchildren, there needs to be something that comes through more than let's give them a fistful of candy or, you know, make sure that we do something really fun with them. Let's talk about Jesus. Let's have them sitting there as we're talking with their parents about Jesus. Let's make sure they know both in word and in deed that this matters to us. I'm guessing, brother, that similar to what I just said with Dr. Chappell's observations, if simple but genuine expressions of faith are being made by parents, then if grandparents are reinforcing that and also doing the same, then surely there's even more of an influence upon our children to want to pursue the Jesus that we love in our own hearts and lives.
Oh, what you're saying, though, is so important, and you've said it multiple times in a number of ways, but just to flesh it out a little bit, you're saying that these things are more caught than taught, not that they don't have to be taught, but they see it. That's what you're saying. They see that. Yeah. The faith that you've been taught and you're growing in and those kinds of things. And that's just so important. And that takes me back to my teenage years. There was a number of issues with my parents and they got divorced, and I leaned on the church and I saw what real faith is like through that. And it just kept me going in my walk with God. Wow. And that's so so important. I would not probably be still a Christian without that today. You know, God can do whatever He can do. We would affirm. I'm not saying God isn't sovereign, but you know, that really kept me, you know, in the church, going to church, walking with Christ. It kept me, you know, growing and I just fell in love with theology in a lot of ways because of that.
That is so powerful. That is such a powerful testimony of God's grace. And wow, I mean, kind of when you think about as a pastor, when I think about what possible influence I may have on the children in our church and the other adults, it's just a powerful testimony.
And it was guys like you and youth pastors and youth elders just watching their life, seeing what that was so different. There was a difference between how my parents were living and how, you know, the elders and the pastors were living. And mm-hmm. and I wanted what the pastors had.
You know, you're reminding me of something that couple of my children said to me when they read my previous book, Respect the Image, which you graciously had me on for. They texted me or called me, I forget which now, and they just said something that was incredibly affecting and humbling to me. They said, as they read the book, they said, well, this is how Dad lived.
Wow.
And it just made me realize they had never really put it together before until they saw the book and realized that they had witnessed it in my life before they actually read it, you know, from my pen, so to speak. And I share that not in pride, but it's very humbling to me. And you know, there was almost certainly I was consciously applying those teachings in my life, but I was not aware of the wasn't conscious of the visible impact that it was having on my children. And it's just true, brother. It just is true. Your nephew, you talk about your nephew, you know, you're leaving a mark on him.
Yeah,
how you live. So. Yeah. How you live, how you love, how you walk, how you love your wife. You know, it's humbling and it's encouraging to think on these things. So.
Yeah, we were talking, my wife was showing me something that her sister was saying, and she was saying something to her about me. And I was like, wow, I guess I never really realized some things about what you're saying. And I was like, huh, I need to be more cognizant of that.
Yeah.
A lot more. And I was just humbled and convicted, like you were saying earlier. So it's
because obviously it can go the other way too. It can, it, it's a tremendous privilege to be a good example by God's grace. And Jesus warns us about this. It's a terrible thing to be a bad example in a sinful way, and to cause little ones to stumble. It's sobering, but encouraging at the same time.
So true. Well, brother, where can people go to find out more about your work online, either on social media or otherwise?
Yeah, thanks for asking that. They can find, I have a website, timothyshorey.com. That's Timothy, Shorey, timothyshorey.com. And that gives you, that would give folks a lot of information about me, about the work that we're doing, the projects we have, the books, and speaking engagements and events that I'm involved in as well. And also, if there are churches that are interested in seminars on the other book I've read, be happy to do that kind of work as well. So timothyshorey.com will get people more information. I do have a Facebook page, Tim Shorey, and what I call a Respect the Image Facebook page as well. And if anyone just is interested to know more, that again, they can either go to the website or they can reach me if they want to email at respecttheimage@gmail.com. So those are a few different ways people can connect.
Wonderful, brother. Well, just as we wrap up this conversation, do you have a few takeaways for our listeners?
Well, I think we've really touched on a lot of takeaways in this. let's certainly love our children, but let's live, as one old author put it, let's live a better life into our children. Let's live in such a way that they want to turn from their sin and from their need and be redeemed and restored and transformed by the power of God. Let's model what we profess to believe, and let's fill our children with as much truth as we can, in ways that capture their attention, in ways that display to our children, in the words of the psalmist, the wonderful deeds of God. Let's talk about a big God. Let's believe in a big God. And let's hand that on. Let's make that the heritage that we leave to our kids.
So good. So good, brother. Well, guys, we've been talking today with Tim Shorey about his new children's book, An ABC Prayer to Jesus, Praise for Hearts, Both Young and Old. Tim, you've done a fantastic job and on the show today. And thank you so much for your ministry and all that you do. And God bless you.
Thank you, Dave. Again, thank you to you for having me on. It's been a joy to take these moments with you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Equipping You in Grace podcast. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe, rate us on the app, and share this with your friends and family on social media. If you want to find us on social media, you can find us on Twitter at Servants of Grace, on Instagram at Servants of Grace, or by searching at Servants of Grace on Facebook. You can also find this episode and many others like it on the front page of our website, servantsofgrace.org.